All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. Yep, I'm Damon Woolsey. I'm an adoptive dad, and I have fostered before, and I work for South Dakota Kids Belong. And I'm excited to be here to talk about Jesus and all the work he's doing for kids in care and caring for them, and really to show how we can get involved with the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And to get there, I just want to start out by just saying thank you and praising God. You know, when you guys decided to get involved with your giving, your times and talents and gifts to help vulnerable children who are in foster care, it started a movement, and it's been exciting. And I just wanted to thank you to all that are supporting foster parents and actively engaging in this mission. You guys are making a true difference locally and really throughout our state because you guys chose to get involved last year, May 11th, 2021, Governor Noem initiated a campaign called Stronger Families Together, and this is a statewide campaign to recruit enough foster and adoptive parents throughout our state, and this includes stakeholders, private providers, CPS, DSS, and yes, one of the beautiful things is it involves you, the church, and a lot of that happened when God's people saw the need and they stepped up. And they saw that this is a solution because the solution is us. So thank you so much for your obedience and helping out with that. You're truly making a difference. And really praise God for his heart for vulnerable children and families in our state. Another thing, when you guys chose to get involved, it helped initiate other churches to get involved. There was 24 churches to preach God's word, to share about the needs, and then do a call to action to become foster parents, adoptive parents, and support for those families. So thank you so much. Because you got involved, there's also businesses decided to use their gifts and talents to support foster parents in their community, over 50 of them. So we're super thankful for that, and praise God for his heart for kids. Then fourth, last year, the South Dakota Kids Belong, I Belong Project, which are high-quality videos of children who are available for adoption in our state. We were able to do video 51 children. And last year, it wasn't the kids we videoed, but we had kids in the program, and 20 of those children were placed in potentially permanent families. So praise God. We can clap for that one. That's it. That's exciting. So, and I just thank you, Grace Fellowship. From the bottom of my heart, I mean that. Thanks for your time, care, and your resilience for this mission. While other states were struggling to meet their recruitment goals for foster parents, South Dakota is on pace to setting a record number of foster parents recruited by almost 20%. And praise him. And it's because the church said, we see the problem and we want to get involved. And you guys are a huge part of that. And thank you for it. And we've heard things people say, like the stars just aligned, or this is very serendipitous, or we've had people ask questions like, who is this God that you serve? And it's been beautiful because what they're really testifying is to the manifold wisdom of God and the church and his people, and it's for his glory. And so thank you for your obedience and praise God for his heart and work to help these children and families. But the work is not over, as some of you know. So let us keep moving forward to see more than enough foster and adoptive parents to meet the needs of kids in foster care and support for those families. To get there, I want us to look at one of the most famous verses in the Bible, and some of you have heard me speak other times, so you probably have heard this verse, and I know you've probably heard it if you've been in the Christian realm, but let us not take away the powerfulness of this verse that is preached in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, John 3:16, God gave up his Son, his only Son, to die for each and every one of you. And if you're sitting in this room right now, I hope you'll be put right before God if you never have been. Because what God did there, he bound all your sins, past, present, and future wrongs, and he nailed them to that cross, and he promised you eternity in heaven with him and a relationship with him. In God's great love, he sacrificed that day. As we all make sacrifices, Jesus made the ultimate one. He took the pains and the suffering that we all deserve, and he took it for you. And he said this beautiful thing to you, and we need to rest on this. And he says, you're forgiven. You are forgiven. And it's based on his works, because of his life, his death, and what he did and the life he lived. And it's a free gift. It says in Ephesians 2:8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. This is a gift of God. So this is not of works. It's not something you can attain or work for or buy. This is simply something where you see yourself as the wrongs we've committed, and then you ask for forgiveness, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he says you're forgiven and redeemed. And when you do that, and when you repent and place your faith in it, all of a sudden you get the Holy Spirit comes into your life. As you see his love for you, that comes into your life. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. He asks, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? The Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And so if you never really put your faith in Jesus Christ and seeing the desperate need that you have for him, I encourage you, repent and trust in him. He is the good news. But for us that are Christians, maybe you've been a Christian for a year, maybe 20. And I think sometimes we'll take the gospel and we'll put it aside. And I think it needs to stay in the center of our lives, because that is, we still need to hear the good news. Because no matter what you're struggling with or what you have done as a Christian, and what you will, even sins you may have committed, you're not intending, but you were just fallen, Jesus says you are forgiven. And when you recognize that forgiveness and you see that, all of a sudden, Jesus starts filling you a little more with the Holy Spirit, or maybe even just refreshing the Holy Spirit that lives in you to fan it into flames. And I think a question comes to us as that lives in us. It leads us to follow Jesus, and a question comes to us. What does that look like? What does it look like to follow Jesus and be compelled by his Spirit and his love? And you see this in Luke 4:14-21, when Jesus starts his ministry. And here's what his word says. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit, and here's what it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, upon Jesus, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaiming for the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to them, and he sat down. You see, Jesus in verse 18 was anointed to minister the good news. And the good news is what we heard earlier. The good news is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that forgiveness and power of restoration that he came for the world. And then he came for the poor, and this is a unique word. This is a Hebrew word. Most scholars say that he's quoting an Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 61:1. The word poor is a Hebrew, and it has a broader sense of just people without financial resources, though it can include that. But according to the Strong Concordance, Isaiah 61:1, the word could mean poor, but it also could mean afflicted, humble, meek. Other pastors have described this as outcasts of society, or people that may have feel that they're forgotten about, or people with lower social status. Sometimes it's people who have made poor choices and they are rejected from certain religious circles. This is the very mission and heart of God, who came and said, I want them. And I think if we're a little honest with ourselves, spiritually speaking, we're all a little poor. We're all a little desperate for the need of Jesus Christ in our lives and in our hearts. And Jesus has a special place for people that are desperately need him. And you see Jesus living this mission out in the Gospels. You see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want to go over just a couple of those situations that expresses this heart. You look in John 8, 6 through 11. There's a woman who committed adultery. And there are some religious people who bring this woman to Jesus. They're wanting to test him and trap him. But they're also wanting to stone her and condemn her. And here's what Jesus said a little bit through, halfway through verse 6. It says, Jesus bent down and he wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, so they pressed in more, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw the stone at her. And once more he bent down and he wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older one. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, and listen to this, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more. You see, Jesus did not come to condemn the world and to stone them. He came to forgive and restore them in his power and his love and in his spirit. In Luke 18, 16, there was a group of disciples. They were talking about really important things. This reminds me of those heated discussions and like a Bible study about theology, and it's getting intense. And people were bringing these children up, and children were coming, and the disciples said, go away, go away. And then Jesus rebuked them, and here's what he said. He called for the children and said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And then he turned around and said, be like them. And he taught them about faith. You see, Jesus came into our space to care for people that so many times feel unseen and forgotten. I think a pastor said it well like this when he said like this, he, meaning Jesus, could have stayed up in heaven, snapped his fingers, and fixed everything. But instead, he moved down into our story with us. I find the gospel is less about God pulling us out of our broken story and more about him pulling us into one, pulling himself into our story. That's his method of operation, entering into it with us. This is the consistent and pattern narrative of Scripture from the beginning to the end. God is the kind of God who moves towards, not away from, hard places and broken people. The Bible is littered with examples of this. We don't have to overcomplicate how we biblically talk about caring for kids and families that are affected by foster care. We just need to over and over again point to the fact that this is who God is and what he does. And if we've experienced even 1 ounce of that in our lives, then it increasingly over in times informs us of who we are and what we are to do. That we would become the people, the kind of people who move towards and not away. That we would not try to just pull people out without first letting us pulling us in to their world. We don't rescue, we enter. You see, in the 21st century, the context has changed. It's been 2,000 years. But the relevance of Jesus Christ and his heart for vulnerable children and people still stands. And an area that Jesus is very involved in is vulnerable kids and children in foster care and their families. You see, when a child goes into foster care, something drastically went wrong. And there are 3 options for them. They are reunified safely with their family, which is in the case most of the time in the state of South Dakota. So it is wise for us as Christians to be part of that, to keep kids safe and see families restored. Unfortunately, reunification is not always possible as we live in a fallen world and that evil does exist. We'll never rid it on this side of eternity. But when these kids can't return home, they need to be adopted. They need forever families. Third, if they're not adopted or reunified, they will transition into adulthood without a permanent family and at times without healthy community around them. This leads people to be at high risk, children to be at high risk for some of the major social wounds in society, like trafficking, suicide, homelessness, poverty. And then there's a generational cycle where their children are at more high risk to be in foster care like they were. And I think a question comes to each and every one of us. Are we willing to follow Jesus into these difficult places? To see his power restore, redeem, and protect kids? And this is hard for churches. This is hard for people as we're all busy and there's seeming overwhelming amount of needs. And adding something else to the plate seems difficult. And you don't really need to add anything to the plate. You just need to adapt what you're already doing. You see, when I sit down and I talk with church leaders and talk about entering into foster care, they just don't know where to put it. They're confused. It's a little perplexing for them as this going kids ministry, outreach ministry, discipleship ministry, the missions team. You know, it's just, where does it really go? And it's perplexing because the answer is yes to every one of them. Generally speaking, when you enter into the world and care for vulnerable children and enter into foster care ministry, it will expand the kingdom in all the areas of your ministry, from child care on Sunday to people coming in that are piecing their life together and needing hope that we offer through the gospel. And so it affects all the area, and it especially affects discipleship. You see, we talked about Jesus and his mission and his life. And then at the end of it, he commissioned us to do something. And here's what he said. It's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." With you always. You see, Jesus said, go and make disciples. So when a family feels called to become a foster parent, they are going into a child's world and into a family's life that is struggling. They bring them into their home, but they also get down and they go into their world. And they are going into this life of a child to help them heal and be restored from the affliction that they have faced. You see, and then Jesus says, make disciples. You see, this is the part where you care and then you share. You see, when you bring a child into your home and you give those tangible needs with food, water, shelter, clothing, and you care for them, and you start understanding that the way they're responding is they are just as scared, like a wild animal. They're just scared and they do not know how to respond properly, and you come alongside them and you care for them and you sit up with them and you hold them and you care for them more and more, and then you can share with them why you're doing this. It's because of the hope God gave you and the forgiveness he gave you and the spirit that lives in you. You can share that and pour that into the life of a child. You see, and then when we do that, we go into the world and we are making disciples of all people. And then they're baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I want to share a testimony to give a little more reality to what I'm saying. You see, in 2010, God led my wife and I to become foster parents. For me, at the time, we were struggling with infertility, and we wanted to adopt, so we chose foster care, and this was in a different state. And we were told, yes, that would happen. We were emergency licensed in our 20s, and I've never had a child. What that meant, within a week, my wife and I had a 3-year-old and a 4-week-old, both been neglected, and the 4-week-old was addicted to meth and coming off withdrawals. And it was incredible how God provided the crib and the diapers and resources for my wife and I through the church to help these kids find security and love in our home. And it shocked me how much I loved a child that was not biologically mine and how God broke my heart for them. And what was even more shocking is I was able to meet the parents. You know, and it was almost like the blood of Jesus just washed over my eyes, because I think I demonized them a little bit in my mind. How could you ever do something like this, you know, or whatever the case may be. And then Jesus, it was just like, he just showed me, you know, they're just people who are struggling. And a lot of times they don't have the resources in the community that God has given us. And sometimes they were the ones in foster care, and they're just trapped. And I think if we're all honest, we're all a little trapped to some degree without Jesus Christ. And so God broke my heart, and he showed me something. And he grew me, and he matured me a little. And then by God's grace, this father, came to know Jesus. And then he was baptized. And it was beautiful because we were caring for this child, and then it was a town over that somehow God just wrapped his arms around this family, and they started talking to him. He started going to church, and then he was baptized. And then he was reunified with his child. And this was difficult for Christy and I to experience the loss of this child. But it was a beautiful picture of God's heart restoring a broken family to make it stronger. You see, engaging in foster care as a Christian is more than just being a foster parent. It is being on a mission for the kingdom of God. And you are equipped with community, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and he will send you into the world on his power and his authority to see them heal, to see people restored, to see families come together. And we are living out the Great Commission to go into the world and make disciples of all nations and all people. You see, in our state, we have a great opportunity to live out the Great Commission. I'm not saying to live out the Great Commission you have to foster, but I'm saying it's a great opportunity to go into the world and live out the Great Commission when you engage foster care. See, South Dakota is inviting the governor, DSS, CPS, is inviting the church to be the solution. It's a great opportunity for us to see it and be led by the Spirit, led by Jesus, and enter into these difficult situations and watch him unfold his glory. And here are four ways, just four simple ideas, but fairly difficult, one less difficult than the other, I would say. And so the first one is to adopt. You go into the world, go into this life of a child, and you help them heal and restore. And there's children available for adoption. And I would love to show one of those videos of a child right now.
I would like to have someone that cares about me and takes care of me and gives me food and shelter. Care about me and make sure I'm safe and I'm happy. My friends think I'm kind. I'm really great with other people, and I love being around people. My favorite sport is volleyball because I love teamwork and I love playing with other people. I'm good at hopscotch and I'm good at jump roping and I'm good at running. I can run really fast. Hanging out with my friends, it makes me happy. When I grow up, I want to be a dog trainer or a dentist. I would like to be a dentist because then I can help people with their teeth and tell them how to be healthy. I wish for a great dog that I have. And I wish for a family that will love me and will care for me. I would like to do family things together and hang out with each other and go places like Paris. I would want people to know about me that I'm kind and caring and I want a home that will care for me and keep me, or just like a loving home. My name is Elizabeth and I'm 12 years old.
You see, if you're looking to build your family, there's opportunity in our state to adopt children that want homes. So you can adopt. The second one is you can become a foster parent. I emailed DSS and just asked them what were some of the needs. And they need foster parents that will take in sibling groups. You see, a beautiful thing with this area is there's more foster parents than there are kids in care. So that's exciting because now we can start looking for specific needs for the kids. So sibling groups is one of them. Also, Native American foster parents that will get involved. And then foster parents who will not only, you know, care for the child, but they will reach out and care for the parent and the parents. You see, and they didn't put it like this, but this is our opportunity to live out the Great Commission, to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations. So you can become a foster parent. The third is support. You know, not everybody is called to foster and adopt, but I think we all can do something. And this is the wraparound. I talked to DSS. Since there's enough foster parents, you know, now I think it's a huge opportunity for us as a church to continue just to keep wrapping around. And you guys know this. You know, I've been here, was this year four for me? and I enjoy it every time, so I'm probably preaching to the choir a little bit. But there's still more opportunity if you haven't heard about that. Get involved and come alongside these families. And then also you are living out the Great Commission. Because now you're entering into this family's home. You're loving your brothers and sisters, and then you get to be part of that healthy community around these children so they're safe and feel loved and cared for by our community. So you can get involved with that. Second, and they said there was, as I reached out to them, they said there is a need for daycare, child care for children under 2 years old. And this would lead into the birth parent. You know, when the birth parents, they're coming off whatever struggle they're coming through. They have a job, you know, they're paying the bills. And now they have a one-year-old and they don't always have the healthiest community around. And there's just not enough daycare for babies in our area. So they said that's a huge need. That is part of that whole wrap support, wrapping around these kids and families. And so you can be part of that. Fourth is be trauma trained, trauma informed. If you're in the kids ministry or a foster parent, adoptive parent, really just if you are a parent or deal with children in any form or people that have been traumatized, become trauma trained. South Dakota Kids Belong has some training. There's some great training resources out there that are Christian based. And so we just encourage you to be equipped with that. And so overall, if you have any questions, please come talk to me and my wife, Christy. I like picking on her because she gets away of the spotlight out there. She's out back there. And come talk to us. We'd love to just nourish you and guide you on your journey to go and live the Great Commission by engaging foster care. Your church is highly involved, so I don't need to expand on this anymore, but I am so thankful for what you guys have done and the support you've given to these kids and to this vision. And I am hopeful that one day that all Christians will see the cross, you know, more and more, and that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit in us that leads us into a foster care ministry, that one day we will see more than enough foster and adoptive parents to meet the needs of the kids in care, and then enough support for those families. And then let the manifold wisdom of God be shown to the world through the church for his glory, for his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know where everybody's at, God, and if there's people that just, you know, maybe they just need to see that cross. Lord, I just pray that you just pour an extra dose of just that encouragement and spirit in their heart to just keep them going, Lord. And it's not on their strength, it's on you. So help them put their fears and worries and whatever's going on to you, Lord. And I pray if anybody isn't led or feel compelled to get involved, Lord, that you will prod them along and give them the strength and the boldness to get involved, Lord. And because this is really all about you, God. And so I just lift this time up and ask you to just work through your people to help these children. And I lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. To get connected, listen to more sermons, or learn more about Grace Fellowship, please visit gracespearfish.com.